Recording. Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
And we're back. I mean,
we're here.
Hey, Wells, what's happening?
Oh, you know, same stuff, different hour of the recording session.
Different latitude.
Sure.
Get a new latitude for your attitude.
That's right. So, Wells.
Yeah.
That new Doom, that real good, huh?
Yeah, and I'm having a real hard time because I'm switching back and forth between Avowed and Doom, and it could not be messing with me any more than this. Like, I'm having a bad time with it. Because it's like all the run and gun and everything, and then I die a lot. Or, I don't know. Yeah, Doom's a lot of fun. I didn't realize that I skipped, like, a reboot at some point, and anyway, yeah, Chainsaw Shield is definitely a highlight for me.
Jeez. And some of the other cool stuff that happens too, like the Pacific Rim battle. You're like, what?
Yeah, what in the heck is going on here? Yeah.
I mean, so are they going to start? So are they going to start making, you know, like, are they going to start following the Assassin's Creed model? Like, there will be like an Italian Doom, and then we'll have like the pirate ship Doom, and then
I don't know. Like this feels so. You know, obviously, I have played those games since I was a wee lad. Huh. This feels like a modern, almost like Halo, like level of storytelling. In a Doom game. It is so bizarre.
Which was hilarious because there was never a story to Doom. Like, it was just go and kill stuff, stay alive.
Yep. And then
eventually you get like a wall of text at the end.
Yeah. And then the 2016 reboot happened and they started to add a little bit more story stuff in, and then they did it with the sequel. And this one is like just a full, like 22 chapter narrative Doom. And it's like, what is happening?
Somewhere after Doom 3, when they did that one where everything went super fast and it felt like what we now look at as like a like an arena shooter where you're just like jumping and blowing stuff up and, you know, grenade jumps and, you know, moving really fast and sliding and all of that. Like, they lost me there. I couldn't handle it. Made me sick.
Gotcha. Yeah, I am pleasantly surprised and very happy.
I can't believe I'm playing a Doom game for a story where I never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah, and yeah, sure. And you're reading the magazines for the stories, too.
Uh-huh.
And Wells, I would assume you're playing that on Xbone.
Yeah, I tried playing it on my computer and it laughed at me because I had the graphic settings turned all the way up. And they're like, are you sure you don't have enough VRAM? And I'm like, fine. I mean, I'm still doing it. But yeah, definitely playing on Xbox.
Just curious, because I mean, it looks insane on PC, and like my PC's like, ha, this is nothing. Turn everything to max. I'm like, okay, will do.
Can't run. 6 frames per second. Turn something off.
Jeff, any new TV movie stuff?
Man, we really got into The Pit. My wife's she has a degree in nursing. And so, you know, we used to watch ER when ER was out. A lot of people did, but you know, she really gets into the medical stuff. And, The Pit is like, ER done in an hour by hour format, kind of like 24, but it's not 24 episodes. It's only like 15 or 16 or something like that, but it's on HBO, I mean Max, I mean HBO Max, I mean Max HBO, or whatever they're calling it now.
HBO Max Go.
Yeah, there you go. And so, like, it is, like, full on, like, it is bloody at times, it is graphic, but, like, it's really good. It's a really good show.
Cool.
That's my recommendation for right now. I've got too many people telling me that I need to get back into Andor another shot, so I'm going to be doing that at some point soon.
Oh, yes. Same. I will be doing the Andor dance at some point.
I just had such a hard time staying awake the first couple times I watched it. So, yeah.
Oh, and I will say, just along the same lines of the HBO Go, Max Go, Conan O'Brien Must Leave is back. Not digging the first episode. Second one was a lot better.
Okay, yeah, that's good to hear, because we tried watching it, and it was a no go for us.
Yeah,
it's like I remember enjoying the first one, but then it's, I don't know, man, it just feels like there's a little too much of like, is he advertising his podcast? Like, what's really going on here?
Well, so I assume you watched the first season, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the problem with the first episode of season two was it was too bit heavy. And they dialed it back on the second episode where it wasn't a bunch of forced bits.
Yeah. But I mean, that's also arguably what always made him appealing, was his weird bits that he would do.
Right. But they kind of shine in the second episode where they don't really in the first episode.
Gotcha.
So I'd say watch it.
We'll see.
Don't have to, but
not gonna. Okay. All right. Glad we agree on that.
All right. Speaking of, you don't have to, for some reason, Goose Island has decided that BCBS is going to be released in 10-ounce 4-packs this year.
Okay. I mean, I'm not mad at this. I don't really understand. Like, I'm trying to figure out the purpose here. And so, you know, you think back to the last episode, we were talking about Cycle and them shutting down because, you know, pastry stouts and, you know, arguably Cycle's main bottle format was the 22-ounce big boy, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. $40 for a 22-ounce commitment. But like a 10-ounce bottle feels weird. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't just go 12 ounces. I guess because it doesn't look special enough.
Or maybe AB got some deal on these weird size bottles and they're like, who wants to use them?
Yeah, could be. That's a good point.
I mean, I would be much more likely to buy a 4-pack of smaller format bottles than I would a big pint bottle of, you know, double digit Imperial Stout. So,
I mean, that is true.
My question is, are they going to be selling these? Like, I wonder how many of these are going to be sold as singles, or if it's just going to be, I mean, I don't know. So it replaces the standard 16.9 ounce bottle for the flagship variant. Like, so I'm not even able to get pint bottles. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, sorry for anybody that wants to do a vertical and has OCD, like, you're just going to have, you know, all these bottles that look the same. And then these new little stubby boys.
Now the other variants, and I don't think they've announced those yet, but the other variants will be at least in the pint bottles. So I don't know. I'm probably going to be just as likely to buy Bourbon County as, you know, now as I was 6 months ago, which is to say not.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I like how the article here talks about how, like, oh, it's great for, you know, like if you're coordinating, you know, a bottle share or something like that. So it really makes me feel like maybe they've realized that they're starting to hit their limit of interest and they've got to find a way, you know, again, going back to Cycle, going back to Weathered Souls, going back to Jay Wakefield. If you're not going to change anything up, people are going to quit buying. They'll get a couple of years out of this, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until they go back to new retro bottles. And I can't wait for that.
Who do they think they are? Apple? Oh, everything old is new again. Money, please.
Yep. Well, yeah. So good for Goose Island. I'm happy for them.
I mean, I can't wait to find those in the bargain bin grocery cart thing at the Harris Theater for like $5, and I'll buy them then.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, even then, I think I was at the big box store a couple weekends ago, and I want to say they had some of just the regular, you know, what are they, like 16.5 ounces or 16.9 or some stupid.
Yeah, 16.9. You
know, 500 milliliters, right?
Yep.
And I want to say they were still like, they were over $15. I'm just like, it is a good beer. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah, it is.
You know, you're effectively talking about, you know, it's a barrel aged imperial stout. It is good, but I'm not giving my money to AB InBev, and I'm definitely not going to buy it at that price. So,
yep.
Anyway.
Agreed. All right. So, Wells, you found this story, and this is a wild, weird, crazy story to me.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what this one is about?
So, what's the most that you've ever paid for a six pack of beer?
$120.
Oh God, you knew that.
Mm-hmm. I knew it right away.
So,
when I bought this worldwide.
Oh,
right.
Six pack worldwide.
Yeah.
Nice. So there is a pilot who, you know, Alaska's a very big state. Right. Very big area. Mm-hmm. And this guy does charter flights. And apparently there's some like communities in Alaska where it's like only accessible by plane. And you're not allowed to even bring alcohol into like certain communities. Like this one community in particular does not allow for the importation, sale, or possession of alcohol. And so this guy like does some charter flights into this community and is discovered with 72 bottles of beers on the plane. He says he didn't know about it. But it's weird. Like, he's not only facing a fine, which is one thing, but he could be forced to forfeit the plane itself as penalty. So this is going to cost him potentially $95,000 plane. Like, absolutely wild.
Yeah, and right now, they have taken the plane.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he no longer has possession of it.
So I guess if you happen to be the type of person who suddenly has come into possession of a very large and very expensive luxury jumbo jet that you use to fly all over the country and the world to have special meetings, be careful that you're not taking any of your favorite alcohols with you, just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Now this is, I of course was reading this story before, or, you know, as we were prepping, and I was just dumbfounded. Like, I get this is a dry county, right? It's a dry community. But this seems a bit excessive to... A fine is one thing. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I agree with that.
And he's been fined. He spent 3 days in jail, and he was fined $3,000, which seems like a lot to me, just to be in possession of 72 beers. Like, $3,000 fine for 72 beers, that's nuts. But the trial court said, no, we don't think the plane should be confiscated. And of course the state appealed and they're like, no, we want that plane.
Yep.
And the court agreed with the state that confiscating the plane did not violate the excessive fines clause of the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution. It's a $95,000 fine for 72 bottles of beer. Not excessive. Like, what's your definition of excessive?
Right.
Or yeah, I feel why is this much further, right? Like,
I mean,
it's one thing to put the fine in, but then, like, this feels punitive.
Yes.
So is there a backstory here?
That's what I'm curious about, too, because there's something that just doesn't seem to shake out, because the man paid $3,000 and was in jail for 3 days. Like, time served, fees and penalties paid, let him go.
But like, now you're essentially forcing this guy into retirement, because if this is how he makes a living with his plane, being a pilot, and now you're taking away his means of doing business. Like, Damn. I don't know. This is absolutely ludicrous. So
yeah, and apparently this is going all the way up to the Supreme Court. So it'll be interesting to see if it makes it there and what happens. But
well, you know how court cases work these days. I don't like the answer. I'm going to appeal. And then, you know, 9 months later, they finally figure out who won an election, whatever.
Pretty much. All right. Another story that we earmarked for you, and this one was quite interesting, is...
Yeah, hi.
New ingredients that are kind of making their way into IPAs.
Well, I wouldn't call it new. And okay, fair. It's terpenes, right? Like, we've had a lot of terpene beers on the show over the years. They're still very niche. And... you know, that's one of the different high-tech ingredients in modern IPAs that are, you know, that we're going to start seeing come out. And it's not just, like, terpenes themselves. It's, like, different extracts, oil extracts that can, like, you know, basically you can use less in your dry hop and, you know, still get everything smelling good. So,
I'd like to argue that I feel like the reason we don't see more of the terpene beers is that it's, I don't think people are very good at wielding that chemical just yet. A lot of, it's probably kind of like hazy, right? Like, it's a good idea. You can do a lot of fun stuff with it, but it also gets out of hand super fast. And then what do you do?
Wells, was it at Ardent that we had a terpene IPA?
Yes.
Okay. I will say they handled it very well because immediately my reaction was going to be, I'm going to have terpene burps the rest of the night and this is going to suck. Didn't happen.
Yeah, that one was really good. They
knew what they were doing. But Jeff is right. There's been multiple times where we've had them looking at you, Sweetwater, where it's just like you're just sitting there burping terpenes the rest of the night, and it's just a terrible, not fun experience.
Yeah. It, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that kind of stuck out to me in this article, and Wells, I know you are in an environment now where you can't really use your smoker, but you'll understand the analogy, that they talk about eventually your wort just isn't going to get anything else out of double dry hopping, triple dry hopping, hopping at the bright tank. It's only going to get so much, which is part of the reason why these terpenes and some of these extracts exist. It's kind of like smoking meat. Like, eventually, that meat's going to stop taking on smoke.
Or at least your point of reward or your diminishing returns at that point.
Exactly. Like, so Saturday night, after we get back from our anniversary dinner, I go out, fire up the smoker, throw a pork butt on. Technically probably could have pulled it off at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and it would have gotten all the smoke it was going to get. I of course let it ride till about 4 o'clock that afternoon and then finally pulled it in to rest and finish off. But you know, I realized that at some point I long past the point of diminishing returns on how much smoke was actually getting into that pork butt.
Right. At that point, it's just a matter of not wanting to go through and upset the thing. Let it keep running.
Yep.
No, exactly. No sense in pulling it, you know, especially like, you know, or unless you're going to do like a crutch, which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I let it sit there in its stall for hours and hours. And it's just like, well, I'm glad I started this at 10 o'clock last night so we can make sure we have dinner at our normal time, which everything worked out perfectly and everything was good. But, you know, I realized really quickly that I do that personally a lot as somebody who smokes meats I wouldn't say I oversmoke it, but I'm reaching the point where I'm not going to gain any benefit from that thing staying out there anymore.
Right.
So what do you do?
I mean, typically additives. Yeah. Typically what I do is I just bring it in, side throw it in the oven.
Gotcha. Oh, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, just let it finish off in the oven. Or if it's cooked to the point where I think it's going to carry over, I'll just wrap it up and throw it in a cooler.
Cambro style.
Yep. I'll Cambro it. But I feel like hop, you know, IPAs in particular, especially aggressively hoppy as some of this stuff is getting. I mean, well, you'll know this better than Jeff or I, but they said it in the article. I mean, is that really true that you get to a point where you can keep throwing hops at it and ain't shit gonna change?
I don't know. Yeah, at some point, or at least like back in the day, there's just not a point in hopping things past a certain threshold, like, because you can't taste X amount of bitterness, right? Like,
right.
Like the good old days of a McKellar doing that like 1,000 IBU IPA or some shit.
Right.
Like, yeah. Nobody can taste 1,000 IBUs. Like, you just can't. There's no difference in 900, you know, IBUs versus 1,000 or, you know, 200 for that matter. So it's just a funny
when
number.
When you say 1,000 IBU, it means you're doing it better.
Sure. Sure.
It's all marketing.
I mean, to go back, that whole long-ass point that I just made, they go into the point of saying at some point your liquid can only absorb so much, and then a lot of this stuff that we're talking about is really to help boost the aromatics of things, which I can't tell you how many times I've opened a beer and went, God damn, that smells like straight up weed. It smells like weed in a can.
What does weed smell like? I don't know.
I don't know either. I have no idea.
Driving through Noda on a Saturday afternoon with your windows down.
Oh. Are you sure it still smells like that? I mean, I moved, so.
Yeah. Can confirm.
Well, right on, and good for them, right? I don't know. I don't see a lot of terpene beers yet, but I mean, but to your point, Josh, like, yeah, Arden in Richmond did do one. Yeah, I don't know. I'll keep buying them as long as a responsible brewery keeps making them. I mean that. Sweetwater, like, that was a little too much.
Yeah, they've been the most egregious for sure.
Yep. Oh, speaking of egregious,
yeah, what the fuck?
So apparently, you know, pour one out for Hooters,
right?
I
the chain I was, that we didn't realize was even still a business.
Yeah, so there are two companies that operate Hooters restaurants in the United States. There's Hooters of America, which is this one. And it apparently they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in March, and they're currently owned by two private equity firms. Well, Hooters of America is might be having a bid from Hulk Hogan, right? Like, so Real American Beer, y'all know Real American Beer. It's that, you know, the beer that real Americans drink.
That's right.
And anyway, so basically Hulk Hogan and Real American Beer could take over Hooters intellectual property, create Hooters branded merchandise. And boy, does this just sound like the perfect pairing of Hulk Hogan and Hooters.
So with how delusional Hulk Hogan is, it's a way for him to spend some money, which he's not afraid to do, to get his name and to keep himself in the spotlight and keep people talking about him while also giving him the like legitimacy of my beer is selling, therefore I am successful. Like you had to buy the bar to get your beer sold in it.
Yep.
Like that's not really all success, but
all of that, like, you know, I know that neither of you have been into wrestling for probably a long time. I'm not really into it like I used to be, but I still pay attention to the subreddit for wrestling.
Sure. Oh, and, God.
And apparently Hogan claimed that one time he, in one of his books, that he wrestled for 400 days in a year. because of all his travel in between Japan and America. He wrestled for 400 days, not the typical year, he added days.
So you found a way to cross the timelines in such a way that you gained enough days, but you didn't lose them when you went back the other way. You only gained them. Again, he just needs people to pay attention to him.
He is the carniest of carny.
Yeah, if y'all would just pay more attention to him, he'd be fine.
Good for him. Good for them. Good for everybody. Good for Hooters. I honestly forgot that Hooters was even around still.
Can I tell a funny story about Hooters?
Yeah, do it.
I mean, are there any... Well, there's only two types of stories about Hooters. There's funny, and then there's sad.
Well, this was both sad and funny. How about that?
Funny because it's sad. I'm in.
I am familiar with the concept of a ghost kitchen. I'm not sure if you two are, but...
Yep, yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, this was during COVID, I want to say. Maybe right before. I can't remember. It was right around that time. Well, anyways, I'm just browsing around for some lunch. Was working from, you know, I'd been working from home and didn't have anything. And I saw something called Hootie's Bar and Grill. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. I'll give that a shot. I'm sure you can guess where this is going when the rest or the delivery driver shows up with a Hooters bag and we both look at each other with deep shame. Grab my bag and I turn around and walk away.
That's what, you almost want to like have the quick wit to be like, look, in fairness, in my own defense, I didn't realize y'all were Hooters.
Right.
Also, could you show me a little more? You kind of buttoned up a little high.
Yeah, exactly. Can I at least see a crack or something, man? Come on.
That's not the uniform, sir.
Let's make this experience somewhat real.
Yeah.
Oh God, that was so embarrassing. I felt
we're gonna like play we're gonna play a new game called Who Dies of Cringe First.
Yeah, that was, I felt so bad. I felt like an idiot. I'm like, how did you not put two and two together?
Well, why Hooties? Would you?
Maybe you're just a really big fan of that 90s band, Hootie and the Blowfish.
That's right.
I mean, who's not?
But yeah. Some love and some tenderness.
They were my first concert, really.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love me some Darius Rucker.
Back in 1996. I had to think about that for a second. But yeah.
We're old. We're fucking old. Good Lord, we're old.
You know, it's one thing I you know, going back to this Hogan story for a second, like you think about like any interview you've seen with ex-professional wrestlers, like the people that we grew up watching, most of them talk about at some point. They talk about how hard it was to leave the ring, to leave the crowd, you know, that adrenaline pop from everybody cheering and chanting their name. You know, they all come up with different ways to cope with that. And Hogan's way is just to continue to try to be in the spotlight, whether we want him or not.
Yep.
It's sad, really, but
it really is. 'Cause I mean, he's so old at this point.
Indeed.
And he can't even walk right. It's like just the physical damage of what he's done over the years. And
yeah,
it's a sad, sad thing. And then, yeah, he's going to take over the restaurant industry and upright it that us millennials killed. Fuck all the way off, Hogan.
Restaurant. You know, oh, like, my God.
I won't believe that he's taking it over until he actually buys Tilted Kilt as well. And then we'll start worrying.
Oh. Oh my God, we need to get him on the phone. You make NWO and NWO Wolfpack competing restaurants. There we go.
Copyright 2025. Craft Beer Cast. I'm so sad right now.
Oh God.
Oh, what have I become?
My sweetest friend.
I hurt myself today.
I just realized that there's a Hooters 7 miles away from where I live. It would take me 13 minutes to get there. You should have Liz like, you know what? I know you caramelized a whole bunch of onions, but we're going to Hooters for dinner instead. And
we're going to go to Hooters.
And that's when Wells actually starts looking for a new place to live because he's out on the street.
Yeah. We just celebrated an anniversary too. And first and last.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, God, which one's so pretty to look at on a grid. Yeah, we're ready.
True. Are we ready to talk about what we've been drinking, brother?
Yeah.
I can assure you it is not anything from Hulk Hogan.
No? Good. All right, Jeff.
As referenced in the previous episode, I bought a boatload of the La Cerveza con Limón, the Mexican-style lager with lime from Heist. It is delicious. I highly recommend.
Nice. Mr. Wells.
In what is quickly kind of becoming my fridge IPA of choice, it's Josh's favorite, the Lawson's Finest Liquids Sip of Sunshine Double IPA. It's so delicious.
Good. It's so good. Josh is a hater.
Yes, he is, and that's fine because more for me. Josh, what are you sipping on?
All right, so you ready for the biggest heel turn of all time?
Oh, gosh.
I found a Lawson's beer that I actually like.
Okay.
Well, they make really good stuff. So what did you find?
I found Chinookered.
What's that?
It is basically just a Chinook-based IPA.
Okay.
And I figured out my biggest problem. I don't like Citra on its own, which is pretty much what Sip of Sunshine is.
Wow.
Look, you can be wrong. It's fine.
I like Citra as an IPA. I just don't like it as its star of the show like it is in Sip of Sunshine. Chinookered, fantastic. Absolutely love this beer. Had it not been so long since I picked this up and we would record again, I would have saved this for the next in person. But I can't find it anymore. So if you see this, Jeff, I highly recommend picking it up. It's really
well,
good.
Well, as it happens, you know, my local spot likes to carry Lawson's, so keep an eye out.
Yes, and Wells, I know you can get Lawson's up there too, so if you like Chinook, this is
where it's at.
Yeah,
this is
real good.
Yeah, so there's a quality beer store that is on my way home from work, so I will be same place I got this Sip of Sunshine. I'll just have to look out for Chinookered.
It's a green can, so it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Okay.
Pretty easy to see.
Is it the same beer place that we went to?
Sure is.
A new one? Okay, I didn't know if you found a new one yet.
No, and apparently there are like three other beer stores. Look, beer people, if you're listening to the show, hook me up with recommendations for beer shops. Because, no offense to Corks and Kegs, I love it. I just need, like, I don't know, another place. So, we'll see.
And this would be in Richmond, for those that didn't pick up on that. So,
oh, yeah, that's true.
Or Wells in Richmond.
Yeah, and I was looking, I don't know what in the world at. Yeah, anyway, never mind. That story sucks. Yeah.
Okay.
In Wells for Richmond.
Fair enough. So, we're at the end of the show. Jeff, where are we at?
Craftbeercast.com. You should know that by now. But if you don't, go there. Or if you don't know that, go check out our Patreon. That's really where you can find the best content. Patreon.com/craftbeercast. Or just tell a friend. That's fine, too. We appreciate all of it. Thanks for listening. Well, yes. You got anything you want to?
Tell a friend. Tell somebody. You know, visit our Patreon if you want to. Patreon.com/craftbeercast. You can find me at All the Wells on Instagram. Josh, where can they find you?
Well, before I say that, again, if you are in the Richmond area and you know of a beer store, hit Wells up on Instagram. Help a brother out.
Yep.
But beyond that, our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. Rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice. Tell a friend, tell somebody. And other than that, we will talk to y'all next Thursday.